Good morning and happy Mother's Day to you. I hope, ladies, that you were blessed this morning seeing your kids. How beautiful they were, huh? And are. I hope we've made you feel welcomed and appreciated this morning. You know, we're given a commandment in Exodus to honor our fathers and our mothers. Romans chapter 13 reminds us to give honor to whom honor is due. You know, we really cannot take those verses too lightly. God handed the commandments down to Moses, and in turn, we were given those commandments. Many times, that commandment, honor your parents, honor your mother and your father, we take that more of a suggestion than a commandment. Today, we have young people and older, young children and older children, grown children alike, that do not honor their parents. We have young children who don't honor their parents because we haven't trained them up in the way to honor. And with that, we have a society full of people who have no respect for fellow man. We have grown children, adults, who don't honor their elderly parents. They expect the government and others to take care of them, and in that, they are dishonoring them. Church, can I tell you that I just really believe this virtue of honor, it's a lost virtue in today's world. That, with many others, and beginning on Memorial Day weekend, we're going to start a series on lost virtues, beginning with honor being Memorial Day weekend. You see, I think it's lost because it's not trained and we're not taught what honor is. But today, moms, I hope you realize that for us here, it is important that you understand that we honor you. Because whether honor is lost in the world or not, in this place, we will not lose it. And we will continue to give honor to whom honor is due. This morning, I want to honor moms, but I also want to challenge and encourage all of you this morning. My scripture today, it may not be one that you would typically hear on a Mother's Day service. It's going to come to you from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. You see, it may not be a typical Mother's Day message, but, you know, God never called us to be ordinary or typical, and we are far from that. This morning, as you are turning to Luke chapter 10, would you do me a favor? Let's stand this morning for the reading of the Word. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. We have the story of Mary and Martha. It's a story that's probably familiar with most of you here. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Father, we just thank you for your word this morning, God. Let it not fall on deaf ears this morning, God, but let it speak right to our hearts this morning. Let it do the work that you have accomplished, that you would have accomplished in it, God. Your word tells us that it will not return to you void, but it will accomplish what you set forth for it to do. Let it be so in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I believe our passage speaks to us on a couple of levels. The first thing we're going to look at this morning is how it speaks to us in the way that we interact with others, like in our family. And the other way is how we interact with God. And we're going to touch on both of those. In reading the scripture this morning, I wonder how many of you can relate to Martha. Moms, what about you? You want everything to be just right? You've got all the work, before you and you're not sure how in the world you're ever going to get it done. You spent the day either working in the home or out of the home, as many do. You've shuttled the kids from here to there, from one event to another. You've got dinner prepared. The house has some form of cleanliness. You've worked, worked, worked. And then it happens. Dad comes walking through the door. And in that moment, the kids go running up to him. And they show their love and appreciation to Dad, who has been gone all day, while you have shuttled them from here to there, cooked, you've cleaned, you've done all of those things. And in that moment, you might feel just a little bit like Martha. You might be like, really, what about me? Have any of you ever experienced that? You know, whether a mom or a dad, this happens a lot of times in blended families where we have two sets of parents involved. You may be the parent who has the primary custody, and you end up being the one who's there to say, do your homework. You're the one that's there to do all the correction. And the absent parent, or the one with the weekend visitation maybe, they get to be what we call the good guy, right? You're the one who says, take out the trash. Did you walk the dog? Is your bed made? Is your room clean? You're the one responsible many times for all of the correction that has to be done. And then the other parent gets to come in, pick up the kid, and they get to be what we call the Disney World mom or dad. They get to be the one who's there to experience all of the good times with the kid. And you're left sitting there like Martha. What about me and all the work that I've done? Can't I get a little bit of appreciation here? Many of you may have felt like that. Whether you're a mom or a dad, we've experienced that with our workplace many times, where you've done this huge project, you put in all the work, and for some reason, your coworker gets all the credit. And you're like, wait a minute, what about me? Am I the only one who's ever felt like that? The flip side of that, though, is I think sometimes we actually like being able to say, look at what all I've done and all I've been able to accomplish. Listen to this excerpt from Stephen Covey's book, First Things First. I think Chris will throw it up there because it's a little bit long. Some of us get so used to the adrenaline rush of handling crisis that we become dependent on it for a sense of excitement and energy. How does urgency feel? Stressful, pressured, tense, exhausting? Sure. But let's be honest. It also sometimes feels exhilarating. We feel useful. We feel successful. We feel validated. And we get good at it. Whenever there's trouble, we ride into town, pull out the six-shooter, and do the varmint in. Blow the smoke off the gun barrel and ride it into the sunset like a hero. It brings instant results and instant gratification. We get a temporary high from solving urgent and important crisis. Then when the importance isn't there, the urgency fix is so powerful, we are drawn to do anything urgent just to stay in motion. People expect us to be busy, overworked. It becomes a status symbol in our society. If we're busy, we're important. If we're not busy, we're almost embarrassed to admit it. Busyness is where we get our security. It's validating, popular, and pleasing. It's also a good excuse for not dealing with the first things in our lives. Wow. For me, I read that and I was like, wow, that's kind of hard to read because I can fall into that trap so many times. Listen, I'm not suggesting for one moment that the only reason we do these things is to achieve some level of success or a certain level of importance. Nor am I suggesting that's what Martha was doing here. But I think it's easy to fall into that trap sometimes. And we get busy and we just stay busy just so we can be busy. Because that's the society we live in today. What I am saying, though, here is sometimes we lose focus on the important things. And that's what Martha did as well. You know, so many times we get just sidetracked just a little bit. And you know, when you get sidetracked a little bit, your life gets out of balance. We're going to look this morning first at how this passage can affect our everyday life. And if you're wondering if I'm ever going to get to that encouraging part today, we'll get there. But we got a couple of challenging things to get through first this morning. I'm not sure about you, but it seems I waste a lot of time on things that are not always the most important things. But you know, in doing so, what I've done is made those things that are the least important or the lesser important the most important. Because when we begin taking those things that aren't so important and we put them first, we're actually saying those are more important. How many of you at one time or another, at the beginning of a year or maybe sometime during the year, have said one of these things? This year, I'm going to exercise more. This year, I'm going to eat better. This year, I'm going to spend more time with my family. This year, I'm going to read more. This year will be the year I'm going to go back to school. Does any of that sound familiar? Am I the only one who has ever told myself any one of those things? Am I the only one? I think not, because every year people make the same resolutions over and over again many times. They start the year off and say, this year I'm going to do blank. And all of those things, what we're really saying is, this year I'm going to make better use of my time. I'm going to steward my time better. I'm going to take the things that I say are important to me and make them important. I'm actually going to make them a priority. If we actually would do that, though, we wouldn't start every year off with the same resolutions over and over again. Could it simply be, at some point in the year, we lose our focus? We get off just a little bit. You know, it doesn't take much. You know, if I were to get off 1 degree and my job was to get from here through that door back there, and I was only off 1 degree, I could probably get through that door still by the time I got back there. I haven't done the math, but I'm pretty sure that I could if I started, especially if I started off this side. I know I could. But what about over time? You know, if you're off just a little bit of your focus, the farther we go along, the farther away we are from our target or our goal. You see, if we look back at Martha, what she was doing wasn't bad. She was serving. She was there trying to serve the Lord. You know, and if we look at Proverbs 21:25, it says, the craving of a sluggard will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work. It's talking about a lazy person there. Obviously, Martha wasn't lazy. She was up, she was about, she was doing work. And I would say the same thing could be said of most of you. Most of you would fall into that scripture of Proverbs where you aren't lazy. You're up, you're working, you're doing things. The problem comes in, though, as to what was the center of the focus. Was the center of her focus Christ? Or was the center of her focus all of the peripherals, all of the other things going around, making sure everything was done right and to the best that it could be? And you know, we need to ask ourselves the same question. Where is our focus? Where's our focus in our family? Is it on all the things that are going on? Is it on making sure that we have the nicest house in the neighborhood? Is our focus that we have the nicest car we possibly can because That's where we spend most of the time shuttling our family around from one event to another. See, the problem isn't that you have a nice house. The problem isn't that you have a nice car, that you're able to have your kids involved in all kinds of sporting events or dance competitions. The problem isn't that. The problem comes in with what are you sacrificing? You see, because in order to have all of those things, something has got to give. Did you give up being able to have breakfast and dinner around a kitchen table together? Has that become such a rarity that it's a big event when it actually happens? Have you given up being able to tuck your kids into bed at night? Did you give up time to read a story to them? You know, we say things, though, like, I just want to be able to give my kids a better life than what I had. My question is, how are we defining a better life? I hate the fact that society bombards us with advertising from every angle, showing us and telling us what a better life is. Friday afternoon, I was at a funeral of a dear friend. And you know, I never heard one person at that funeral get up and say, man, you should see the house that he raised his kids in. Did you see what kind of car he drove? No. They said things like, look at his entire family serving the Lord. They talked about how he would always say, live life in every breath. He talked about how there was no question in the mind of his family whether or not he loved them, because he told them that every single day. It was never a question. They knew that he loved them. I used to work for him, and one of the things that he would say a lot of times when we'd leave for the day, or especially before we'd leave for a long weekend, he would say, go make memories. Go make memories. And that's what I want to challenge you to do today, moms and dads. Make memories with your kids. He had posted pictures of himself on Facebook or Twitter with his grandkids doing simple things like going to the park, just being out in the backyard, on the tractor. And he would post little captions and it would say things like, making memories. Unfortunately, I think today many of the memories we make with our kids and our families are passing in the hallways of our home as we go in one direction and they're going in another. Moms and dads, let me speak to you this morning. You don't have to take a first-class trip to Cancun, Disney World, or Universal Studios to make memories with your kids. You can make memories simply hanging out in the backyard, throwing a ball around. Some of the best memories I have of my dad is doing just that, just throwing a ball around. Throw that picture up here. This is my friend and his grandson, Jake. The caption of this picture right here reads this: Jake and Babu. We do guy things together. Lesson today, learning to treat ladies right. That is a memory that Jake will never forget. It's all about focus. It's all about putting the first things first. When it comes to our family, is our focus on our family, or is our focus on the peripherals, all the things around us? I know so many moms and dads who are working hard. They're trying to build a future for their children. They're trying to work to provide a nice home. But I also wonder how many times in doing that we neglect the spiritual needs of our kids. We're building up the temporary things of this world. I thank God for moms and dads who make it a priority to have their kids in church, to teach them outside of church how to live, how to love God. Your kids will never say to you this, "I wish my mom or dad never taught me how to live life." Your kids will never say to you, "I wish my mom or my dad didn't take me to church." They'll never say, "I wish my mom or my dad wouldn't have taught me the Word of God." I've never heard those words spoken at a funeral, and I've never really ever heard those words spoken at all. You must learn to choose the better thing when it comes to your family. They're going to appreciate having time with you much more than they appreciate the things that you're able to provide them. They're going to appreciate the fact that you are there to teach them, to train them, that they learn from you. Moms and dads, make memories with your kids. This passage also teaches us for our spiritual walk in regards to that. If we again look back to Martha, the problem wasn't in her serving. The problem was Martha was focused on her serving rather than on the one that was in her presence. Serving's not a bad thing. In fact, that chapter deals with serving. It's chapter 10 of Luke starts out with Jesus sending out the 72 to work, followed up by the story of the Good Samaritan, where the Good Samaritan stopped and worked and helped the man that was in trouble. Serving's not a bad thing. It's about where is our focus. And Martha's focus was actually on the serving rather than the one she was serving. Many times we do the same thing when it comes to our work in ministry. We get so tied up and so involved in the work of the ministry, a lot of times we forget what the ministry is all about. Sometimes we get so involved with working for our families and our kids, we forget what it's all about. We have got to learn to put the first things first. Martha had the creator of the universe in her home, and she was more worried about the dishes and sweeping the floor than sitting and listening at the feet of the King. Not only that, but she actually goes as far as to tell him what she would like him to do. She says, "What about my sister? Tell her to help me." We do the same thing, though, don't we? We come to God with our own ideas of how He should intervene in our lives. Seldom do we take time to simply sit in His presence, to hear what He wants to teach us. How many are sitting in churches today and around the world, are present in body, but absent in mind, unengaged, simply here to fulfill an obligation, but not to hear what the Lord would say to them? God's saying to you today, just sit at my feet and hear what I have to say. Listen to what it says about Mary. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He said. And verse 40 gives us the difference. "But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made." How many of this morning sitting here are distracted by the preparations that still may have to be made for today, for this afternoon? The ESV says, "distracted with much serving." And the Amplified puts it this way, "overly occupied and too busy." How many of us can relate this morning? Our lives are overly occupied and too busy. We come into the house of the Lord. There is worship. He is present. The Word tells us in Matthew 18, "For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." In the presence of God, but too overly occupied and too busy to hear from him. How many during worship service this morning had everything else go through their mind outside of focusing on him? Some of you are there now, distracted by the day's events. It's Mother's Day, big day. Got to be a certain place at a certain time. What time are we going to get out of here? Will dinner be ready when we get there? Where are we going to eat? Did I turn on the crock pot? Did I turn off the iron? Those of you who weren't distracted before are now. Because you're like, I don't remember, did I? It'll be okay. Trust me, the house will be there when you get there. We are so easily distracted in this nonstop world. We're completely bombarded all the time with images, noises, and it's so easy to get distracted. We're so busy that we don't stop and sit at the Master's feet. We don't take time to just sit in his presence. Even on Sunday morning, when we come in to a place of worship to sit in his presence, our mind is still going in someplace else. When we do take the time to sit in the presence of the Lord, so much of our time is spent taking care of the business that we want to take care of, the agenda that we come before him with. I need help with this. I need help with that. We don't ever take time to just sit and listen. Just say, God, whatever, whatever. Whatever it is that you would do. We don't shut out the world for just a moment so that distractions are gone, so that we can actually hear what he wants to teach us. Many times what we take to him when we do have that time with him is things that aren't important. They're things that he would look at as mere distractions. Does he care? Yeah, he cares. But we worry about things that we shouldn't worry about. Are you challenged? I hope so. I hope God is challenging you this morning. But I also want to encourage you. Moms, listen. You do not have to be superwoman. You don't have to be super mom. You don't have to do it all. You're like, yes, I do. No, you don't. No, you don't. This morning, God is saying to you, stop for just a moment. Sit for a moment. You're saying, I can't sit. I don't have time. Maybe you need to make time. Maybe God is saying to you this morning, you need to lay something down. Whether it be an extracurricular activity your kids are involved in, the extra hours that you're working so that you can have the lifestyle you have. You're like, yeah, but I won't be able to live like this if I don't work those hours. Maybe this morning God's saying, you don't need to live like that. Maybe you don't need the lifestyle that you think you do. You've got to decide, where's your focus? Some of you in this place this morning may be feeling overwhelmed in life. Some of you are at a fork in the road, and you don't know which way to turn. This morning, Jesus is saying, stop. Don't go anywhere. Don't make a decision. Sit and listen, and I will teach you. Wait for just a moment. Spend some time in my presence. Church, he's here, and let me just tell you this. He is as close to you as you want him to be. Sometimes that's hard to hear, but it's true. He's as close to you as you want him to be. See, we make so many times the secondary things, the things that don't matter, the things that we would say don't matter, we make them the important things in our lives. It's got to be a matter of what you're going to make as the focus of your life. I get the fact we live in a Martha world. We do. I mean, we live in a go, 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 we got to get it done world. But you have got to make it a priority in your life, in your spiritual walk, and the life of your family to take some time to sit aside and sit down and get alone with God. You've got to. You cannot always be overly occupied and too busy to take the time to do that. Mary wasn't distracted by the dishes or the sweeping of the dirt floor that Martha was. She was sitting in the presence of Jesus Christ. It had her full attention, and it needs to have our full attention too. I'll say it again. You are as close to Him as you want to be. James 4:8 tells us, come near to God, and He will come near to you. But you have got to stop and sit, be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. How many can say that you're doing just that? Church, there are times in your life where you simply got to stop and be still. You say, why? Because when you are, the cares of this world seem to just lighten. They seem to go away. Are you in such a place this morning that you would say, I'm feeling overwhelmed, like I just can't do it anymore? Then this is what the Lord would say to you today. Matthew 11:28-30 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For some of you, it's been a long time since you sit in the presence of the Lord, where you came to Him with no agenda and simply sat at His feet. When you do, the cares of this world are washed away. You tend to forget about the dishes. You tend to forget about whether or not the bed was made this morning. You tend to forget about whether your 401k went up or down. You tend to forget about the little things and the big things too. When you sit in the presence of the King, if you've never done that before, if you've never sat in His presence, here's what it's like. In His presence, the burdens of finances are gone. Why? Because He reminds you that He is your provider. Amen. In His presence, the worry of sickness disappears. Why? Because He reminds you that He is your healer. In His presence, the pain of bitterness is removed. Why? Because when you sit in His presence, He reminds you of His forgiveness. In His presence, you are no longer chained to your past because He reminds you that He brings freedom. In His presence, you don't have to wonder where you go next because He reminds you the steps of a righteous man are ordered. In His presence, there are no regrets because He reminds you that in Him there is a hope and a future. Church, it's not only a good thing to sit in His presence, it's the better thing. It is the only thing. This morning, I want to challenge and encourage you to choose the better. To choose the better thing today. It's better for your relationship with others, it's better for your relationship with Him. How many in here would say this morning, I've gotten a little sidetracked? I've allowed the second thing to become the first thing. Church, don't allow your daily tasks or even your serving in the Lord's work to move your focus off of Him onto something else. Church, this morning we have the One who is in our presence that can bring the peace that goes beyond understanding. This morning, please hear the words that Jesus spoke to Martha. You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary had chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. This morning I say to you, choose what is better. Let's pray.